Okay, so we're going to start tonight's shiur. The topic is drinking on Purim. I gave a little disclaimer that I think I gave this shiur like more than 10 years ago at some time, but hopefully I added some ideas, and we'll review the ones that we said previously. I think the shiur is going to be broken down two major parts. One is going to be more the halachic part, to see, practically, how much does one have to drink? Does one really have to drink Adaliyada ben Arahaman Lebaruch Mordechai, which sounds like, getting so drunk from, not knowing the difference between 0 and 100, between black and white, between Hitler and the Gadol Hador, Putin and Zelensky gets a little bit more.
10 years ago,
he's our new evil guy. So try to understand what did the poskim say about that. But then I at the end, and then we'll say at the end, I'd like to other people's idea of what they've thought about and said at their Purim Suda. But more importantly, what's the message even what is the purpose that Chazal even so even if we narrow it down and say Chazal didn't tell us to get so drunk. What it seems like, they still told us to drink, which is a little unusual, and it wasn't just drinking a revius, because I can understand, we have a chiv to drink revius, or there's some chesyantif, or even if you said it was a physical salvation, so we should celebrate physically, and okay, but why, exactly what should we be thinking about? What would be maybe the purpose of the alcohol of drinking more than usual, which is going to be the line probably that one should drink that the poskim say. Okay, so that all starts from a famous Gemara, which is made into a famous song, Megillah Daf Zayin. It says, "Amarava mechayv inish levesume bepuria on Purim ad lo yada ben arahaman levarach Mordechai." So, like I said, it sounds like one has to drink a lot. Levesume Rashi translates in source 2, lish taker b'yayin, to get drunk with yayin. I'll focus in on the yayin. We're going to see that again. The Rambam is going to say specifically yayin. We're going to see avudraham, which maybe we'll focus on yayin. So, but Rashi, people make that diuk in Rashi there too. Not everyone understands libsume. We have other words, but so some people might, the ones that want to maybe take it a little bit less. More from spiced, bosem, and sweet smelling, and we want to make ourselves, so it might be a little,
same,
a little less.
Daf Gemara, Megillah Daf Zion.
Yes.
Rav Chala Besume Ika. There's always room for something sweet. Really, right. The same daf. I mean, dessert. There's always room for dessert. Besume there means something sweet.
Right. And so when I saw what I was reading, one of that, we have to maybe, Right, so then the Adalo Yada becomes, and we will, once we narrow down, limit maybe the level of drinking, we're going to have to try then to under-explain, Jeff, your question of why is that phrase used, Adalo Yada, which sounds like a very maximalist phrase, and we'll learn other interpretations of that phrase, which bring it down. So, and then right after that line, that halachic line, there's a story in the Gemara that people probably have heard also. Rabba v'Rabbi Zera Abdu Sudas Purim b'Hadi Adadi. They shared a meal together. Rabba and Rab Zera. Itzum, they got drunk. Kam Rabba shachted Rab Zera. Rabba got up. Sounds like he shachted Rab Zera. He killed Rab Zera. Lamachar, on the next morning, boy Rachme v'Achye. He, Rabba, sees Rab Zera there lying on the floor, and he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he performs Tchias HaMeisim. And Rab Zera is alive again. L'shana Amar Lei, the following year, Rabba says to Rab Zera again, he says,
Right.
Nisimav and Nevin Sudas Purim. By the other, why don't you join me again for Sudas Purim? So Rav Zera declines and he says, "Amalei lo b'chol shaita v'shaita midrachish nisa." Nisim don't happen all the time. Thank you so much, you know, I don't want to go through that experience again. So then the Rishonim are going to, you know, discuss, you know, and the Poskim, what is the relationship between that first line, you know, and the story? Is the story supporting the first line? So I guess that's how I learned the Gemara the first time. You know, I looked at it. It says Chayiv Adelo Yada Ben, you know, Ben Arur Haman Lebaruch Mordechai. You have to drink really a lot. Obviously, Rabbah drank a lot. You know, and so it's a story that's actually coming to support. You know, coming to support.
Ipsum,
which we're translating is getting drunk, lishtake b'yayin, according to Rashi. So that's, you know, that's how we're drunk. We're going to get to other, right. So then right away, if you look, the Marsha didn't take, you know, took the story a little less literally, and I'm going to turn the page, and let me on Zoom move up. Yeah, going a little bit out of order. And here's the Marsha. So the Marsha on source 2 of page 2. Learn the story the following way, a little bit more rationally, a little bit, you know, and he says, less miraculously, and he says, Dava tamohu, lefarsho kipshita, kishpshite, v'nira deratza lomar, ke'ein shachte, da'agavri cha'am, it's like he shachted it, and we'll explain why he used the word shchita. That what did he really do? What did Rabbah really do to Rab Zera? Da'agri chamra, v'kafi lishtos yosem midai, ad shachala, the Nutalamus. Okay, so his friend Rabbah forced a little bit too much, encouraged a little too much alcohol on Rab Zera. Rab Zera drank too much, and he, you know, he passed out. Probably did more than pass out. You know, it could be almost alcohol poisoning, and you know, he got really, really sick. I mean, people, you know, you hear about those frat parties, and people die of alcohol poisoning. So he didn't die, but he got really, really sick from ingesting too much alcohol. And it says, so why does it say the word shchita, which sounds like he took a knife and slit his throat? So he's saying, so the Marsha explains, the shashas alayin nikra al shem hagaron, because just like shchita happens in the neck area, so when we imbibe wine, it's also going down our throat. Mokam is shchita, it's the place of the shchita, k'mashu kasav, and he quotes even a source here, memale gronam shel tamid chacham yayin. Some sort of phrase where Talmud Chacham's throat is full of wine, and so you see that wine is connected to the throat, and shchita is the makam of the throat, and so that's why they use that term. But it doesn't mean that he actually slit his throat; it means that he forced too much wine down his throat. And so what does it mean? The other line where it says Ba'achye, doesn't Ba'achye sound like Tchias HaMesim? So you can also reinterpret. Marsha reinterprets that that word too. And he says, and that word, so it doesn't mean, it means the next morning he davened that he should be well, or maybe he pumped his stomach, you know, and got him, you know, feeling better. So that's a little less, you know, literal.
From a perspective of drinking wine, doesn't,
no, it's still, so you're saying still something bad happened.
No,
you know?
I'm just saying that if you're using that as proof, that clearly Rabbah and Rav Zera would have only done something halakhic.
Right.
Therefore, either way, Marsha's reputation still is you have to drink a lot.
You have to drink a lot. Correct, really correct. Right. So I'm saying, yeah,
it's
still saying.
Whether it's more believable or not.
That's all I was pointing out. Right.
That's not so relevant with respect to your
perfect
shir.
I agree with you. Both if you take it very literally that he actually did shchita, which sounds like he drank so much, you know, and we're going to question that, because we all know people that have, you know, we're talking about Rabbah, you know, right? And even if Rabbah drinks a lot, are we going to think that he's going to come and shech, you know, and kill someone? I mean, we know so many people that drank too much, and it didn't, you know, who were much baser than Rabbah, not as refined as Rabbah, and they didn't go out and start killing people. So it's a little bit, you know. We'll discuss it, and you know, we'll discuss it. But another source which I just saw, I thought was interesting, and I brought the Gemara. There is a Gemara in Shabbos Kuf, and this is not. I apologize for the people on Zoom. This is not on the source sheet, and it's Shabbos Kuf Nun Vav. And there, it's talking about mazel, if you're born under certain signs. So someone pointed this out. What? That's yeah, right. Excellent. That's exactly right. It says Haiman de b'ma'adim. What happens if you're born under the sign of Mars? What's going to be your tendency? What's your tendency? Yegvar ashid dema. You'll be a man who spills blood. And then and Rav Ashi explains. I umana, I ganava, I tabcha, I ma'ala. You might be a surgeon, you know, a bloodletter, that you know, you might be involved. You might be a moel, you might be a butcher, you might be a thief, you know, that has been, you know, and kills. But you'll be involved in, you know, in one of those areas. And then here's Amar Rabba, who was the person who shechted Rav Zeira. So it says, Rabba says, I was born under the sign of Mars. So I thought that was that. Yeah, and I haven't killed any, I haven't spilled any blood. So either you're saying either it's before the story, or even if it's after the story, you don't take the story. It was another proof that I would say that maybe the story is not so literal. Or if you said it was literal, but he doesn't really consider himself a murderer because he did Tchiyas HaMeisim. I mean, there's a couple ways to get out. But I was maybe trying to say that maybe don't take the story so literally, because here he's saying I never killed anybody. Again, depending on the timeline. So they answer him, no, even though you were born on Mars and you really haven't actually killed anybody, you sat on a Beis Din and you've given the psak of Misa to someone, so you were involved in spilling blood to some effect. But I just thought that was interesting that Rabba, who did do something under the influence of wine, might have had a tendency in terms of already being born under that mazel. So how do we understand the relationship between the story and the first line of that is a chiyuv to drink ad lo yada? So the Ran already brings down this famous the shita of Rabbeinu Ephraim, which in the next source, let me go back up for the people in Zoom and put it on the television screen. So here we're now on the Ran and the Bach. And there, the Ran brings down the shita of Rabbeinu Ephraim, and the Balamor quotes the Rabbeinu Ephraim, and the Bach quotes the Rabbeinu Ephraim. So what does the Rabbeinu Ephraim say about the relationship? He says, the Mahu Uvda, the Kam Rabba, Besudas Purim, the Shachti L'Rab Zera, Kedisa B'Gemara, Idchi Le Memer D'Rava, V'lo Shapa Domi L'Mevid Hachi. He says the story is a Maisa Listor. The story is coming to contradict the halacha. You just said a halachic line, but now we have a story that says terrible things. No matter what, I agree with Stevie. Either he got his friend very, very, very ill, or he actually killed his friend. You know, bad things happen. So the story is another, even though it's in the form of agada, it's a halachic opinion through the story that contradicts the first line. And there really is no chiyuv. We don't paskin that there's a chiyuv to drink ad lo yada, because the story says, and that's Rav Ephraim's line, the story which comes next in the Gemara, last in the Gemara, so the last quote of the Gemara is pushing us in the direction, no, we don't drink, ad lo yada. We're not supposed to do that. Okay, so that was the shita of Rabbeinu Ephraim. However, if you look at the Pri Chodesh, let me just move this up, and the Pri Chodesh says, no, he quotes in the third line, or end the line, he quotes the Rabbeinu Ephraim, that the story is a Maisa Listor, and it contradicts the Chiyuv to drink. But in the fourth line, where I underline, the Ein Zeh Nachon, he disagrees with Rabbeinu Ephraim, and he says, the Imkain, Amai Ishtamet Rav Zeira, Mila Avid Suda Hadadi. If the following year, Rav Zeira refused, if you said that the story comes to prove that we don't paskin like the first line, something bad happened, so already after the first year, something bad happened, so the halacha spread out, we don't drink, so then Rav Zeira should have had no fear of sharing the suda with Rabba, because the halacha now is that we don't drink. But since Rav Zeira was afraid, so according to the Pri Chodesh, that shows that according to Rabba and according to the story, or the end of the story, there still is a chiyuv to drink, because he's afraid to the fact that Rav Zeira is afraid to join the suda shows he was afraid it was going to happen again, which shows that the story says that there's still a chiyuv to drink even though something bad happened. And that's what he says. Haki maisi tamuda ha'u uvda lashmi inan the memras rabba kapashta, the sarava kapashta, the story, the halacha of Rava that one should drink adalo yada is the pshat din, is really right. The story, the end of the story even agrees with that line. It doesn't come to disagree with the line, it agrees. The mechoyev inchi levisumi adalo yada ben arahaman levarach mardachai, and that's why the halacha still stands, and that's why he didn't join him the following year. So we have these two shita, you know, the people who held like the, you know, Rabbeinu Ephraim, there's no, you know, the story comes contradicted, there's no chiv to drink, or the people who come that say, no, there's a, you know, you have to drink the prichadash, let's drink ad lo yada. So look in the riff, just quotes it on the next line. Well, quotes, just in, to drink ad lo yada. Amarav mechayv inish levisumi puri ad lo yada ben baruch mordechai la'ara haman. Interesting, and maybe I'll come back to it during the second half of the shiur and like to see if anybody else. He switched the order. And is there a, I can maybe suggest a reason, possibly, if, and remind me if I don't remember to say it. But think about that. Like, well, you know, well, is there a difference? Is there a, you know, point? Might not be, with you know, but I try to give an explanation. So I thought that was interesting. Skip the Rambam. We're going to go to that afterwards. And then the Torah also. Mitzvah l'harav l'sudas purim, mitzvah l'shtaka ad sh'lo yada ben arahaman l'varach mardechai. So they seem to hold more like the prichadash, more like the simple reading of the Gemara, that there is a chiv to drink and to drink a lot. And to drink a lot. Look at, turn to the Shulchan Aruch, page 2. So the Shulchan Aruch also quotes it very simply. So all that seems to say, to agree that there's a chiv to drink a lot. However, now I'm going to skip down. See, the second time you give the shir, you want to change the order of what you said previously. And look at the Beis Yosef, the second Beis Yosef. And look at a couple sources down. And there, the same Machaber, who all he said was chayiv inish levisumi bipuria, you know, but if you look at the same mechaber in the Beis Yosef, he quotes the Orchas Chaim and he qualifies what does it mean levisumi bipuria, and he quotes the Orchas Chaim and he says chayiv inish levisumi bipuria lo sheyishtakev shashichus isur gamor, and these are strong, you know, the same person who said you should drink, he's saying drinking and getting drunk is an iser gamor. Ve'ein lecha avera gedola mizu shu gorim legilu arayis u'shvichas damim v'kama avera zulasan. So you know, yeah. So therefore, how much should one drink? Even coming from the camp that one, there's a chiv to drink, and the story supports that chiv to the end of the story because he didn't want to get together the following year. Supports that there's a chiv to drink, and maybe I said in very short lashon one should drink ad lo yada. But what do I mean? What do I mean when he explains it a little bit more in the Beis Yosef? He says ach sheyishta yosef milimudo ma'at. He definitely qualifies and said drink a little bit more, you know, more than usual. And that's why I want to say we're going to end up sort of, you know, very close, because the same Bach, if you went, the same Bach who was in the Rabbeinu Ephraim camp, who said one shouldn't drink, the story contradicted the halacha and said you shouldn't drink, and that was what the Bach quoted, that, you know, sheet of Rabbeinu Ephraim. But if you look at the Bach on page 2, and you can look at it on page 1 too, it's in both sources, but on page 2, umihu, so he quotes, he says you don't drink, the story came to contradict it, no chiv to drink, but then he also moves over a little bit more, it's not as extreme, umihu, dafka, levesume adelo yada ben arahaman lebaruch mordechai. The story, I agree with Rabbeinu Ephraim, that the story comes to contradict the halacha, but it doesn't come to contradict the halacha completely. It only came to contradict the halacha that you don't have to drink the shir of ad lo yada ben, you know, arahamon lebaruch mordechai. However, aval miu tzorch lishtos harbe milumudo. But you still have to drink a little bit more, you know, more than you usually do. So we started off the shir. We heard a line of halacha. We saw the Agadita. We wanted to understand the relationship between the Agadita and halacha. We saw some people, you know, said that the Agadita is contradicting it. You don't drink. Some people said no. You know, at the end of this Agadita says he, you know, he was afraid to meet the following year, so it is the chiv is still to drink. But then even in both camps, They said, drinking? I said to drink. Yeah, I say to drink, and that's what the Mechaber said. But, you know, it brings down the Ruach HaSchaim. It's an Isser Gamor to get so drunk. It's an Isser Gamor. Terrible things happen, and you have to drink a little bit more than usual. And even the people that said, don't drink, they still said, no, I was only saying, don't drink to that point. You have to drink a little bit more than usual. So there seems to be a consensus around that that part of the halacha, part of the shir, of how much one has to drink. We're still going to have to explain Jeff's question of then why does it say Ad lo yada? What is it Ben Ar Haman LeBaruch Mordechai? And how can we relearn that phrase in a less maximal way?
I'm not sure, you know, with Rabbi Yosef Karo, I'd always understood it that he brings down the Orchot Chaim and then he wrote the Shulchan Aruch.
Oh, and
he's
machria. So he's okay. That's true too. So let me backtrack. Right. So maybe. Yeah. So okay. So Michael says that in the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber maybe was being a little bit more limiting and said don't drink so much. But maybe when he came down to the halacha, when he wrote his Shulchan Aruch, he actually didn't agree with what he brought down earlier in the Beis Yosef. He decided not to say, you're right, Michael, he didn't say, Chayiv Inish Levisumi Bipuria, you know, Yosef, Achi Yishta, Yosef Mildo Ma'at. You know, he didn't say that. So Michael is saying he actually wrote very much Adal Yodav and Arham and Lebaruch Mordechai in a very maximalist way. So there might be still be people, and this is the Minog maybe.
Right.
So we're going to see that. We're going to see how the right. So it could have been. There still could be. I disagree. So there still. I take it back. There still could be people that learned it in a very maximalist way. Drink a lot. There are people that modify it and say, you know, maybe we don't have to. You just drink a little bit more. You'll say milumudo.
What does that mean exactly?
What does that mean?
More than usual.
More than usual.
You usually have one glass of wine per, you know, per meal.
What's the short? What's the I don't know.
Mitzvah on Hashem Malumada. Your routine.
Mm-hmm. Shigra. Yeah, but it used to be that like the main drink they had was wine.
Correct.
And therefore,
correct.
People drink wine, that's all they have.
Right.
So therefore, people always drink wine. So you,
so you don't think you had to drink a lot. They were sort of immune.
Usual, you drink a bunch. I mean, right. Drinking wine for them was drinking juice for us.
You're right. So I've heard both. I've heard that the wine that they drank was actually very, very strong, stronger wine than we had. So it's OEO. And on the other hand, Stevie is saying wine for them was like just a fruit drink. Was water, was their water, was their hydration. So therefore, in that day, it said drink, you know.
A little more than limudo. I mean, even Rabbeinu Tam talks about in Yenam. That's right, 12th century.
Right.
He talks about that, you know, that's the main drink of wine.
That's all they drank.
That's all they drank. Right. Water and wine, that was it.
Right.
And milk, that was the three drinks they had.
Right. Yeah. So now let's
juices and sodas.
Right, no, I agree. There's definitely been a change.
Beer that shechar, but.
So let's go to the. I skipped the Rambam on the bottom of source one. So if you just want to go back to page one, so the Rambam says Kate said. I'll make a couple of points on the Rambam. Ketzad Chovis Sudazu. So what is he's talking about? There are four mitzvahs on Purim. You know, Mikra Megillah, Matanos Le'Avyonim, Shalach Manos, and Dechiv Suda. So he says, what is this? The nature of this Dechiv Suda? Zusha Yochel Basar. Be attacking Suda Na'ah, make a beautiful Suda, eat meat, Kfi Asher Timsa B'Yado. You know, and then it says Veshosa Yayin. Again, he's saying not to drink, you know, schnapps, but he's saying to specifically, like Rashi, to drink yayin. And then he says, achish taker, now once you get drunk, if you want to say, but he doesn't say, achish taker velo yada ben ara haman. He didn't quote the Gemara, like which I could have expected the Rambam to do, but he says to drink amongst to get drunk, you know, drink the wine to get drunk. V'yardein b'shichrus, which some people want to point out, this is a lower level. The Rambam is like sort of a lower level than the Gemara. The Gemara said, drink so much ad lo yada ben ar haman lebaruch mordechai, drink so much between a 0 and 100. So some people want to explain maybe the Rambam is saying drink, you know, but drink enough that the wine then causes you to go to, you know, to me, one glass of wine goes, it really does affect me, and I get tired, and I take a nap. It's a much lower level than, you know, than Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai.
You're an anesthesiologist. You have way better drugs.
I have better. One for you, one for me. Yeah. So, right. So that's what. But what I wanted to point out, two things in the Rambam, is that, first of all, he says the drinking is brought down in the Hilchos of Suda. So people point out that there's no, that the Rambam limits, you know, this mitzvah of Levisume to the Suda, and that's the appropriate place to, you know, to drink, not the night before. There's no Chiyuv Suda. Now, some people might understand that, okay, it means the whole Yom, because anytime you can actually fulfill your mitzvah of the Suda, so either it means actually at the Suda, or maybe extend it to the day, but not, maybe you're going to the Rambam, not to the night. It seems very clear. There's no, you know, there are many yeshivas that have, perm chagigot, and there's no mitzvah to, you know, to drink. You're not fulfilling this mitzvah according to the Rambam if you're drinking the night before.
Also, he's not on an empty stomach. He's saying, eat some meat.
Eat, oh, he does give, nice, he tells you what to do. That's the medical,
and,
right.
And
he's
then you drink your wine.
And then you drink your wine. Interesting. The order, he says, right, you know, it was...
Is the Rambam saying that the way you achieve that is by falling asleep?
So it's interesting. So he doesn't say it. He doesn't say it. But if you look in the Ramah, in the next page, top sign, page two, so he quotes the Kolbo and the Ma'aril. So look at the Ramah, and that's okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. And then he says, Hagah, the Ramah says, V'yesh Omim, the Ein Tzarech Lishtaker Kokach. This is the Ramah saying you don't have to drink, you know, Adelo Yada. Right, and that's he's quoting the Orchaz Chaim that he's saying in the Kobo, all the same person, and then it says V'yashon, and then and this is all added like the Rambam maybe, you know, added it in Umitoch, and this is the Mara Umitoch Sheyashon Eni Odeh Ben Ar Haman LeBaruch Mordechai. When you're sleeping, you actually fulfill that requirement of Adelo Yada, because when one is asleep, one, you know, has shut off his, you know, rational faculties. He really doesn't know between Haman and Mordechai.
I have the Ramah, because then you say, drink atchalech lishon.
Right.
Why do you know, when I'm sleeping, I don't know the difference between Avraham Abudi and Michael Chalo, which is the other thing.
Right.
Between the Red Sox and the Yankees. I mean, there's
Okay, so we're going to...
There's a million things that know the difference between.
So I'm going to try to explain why...
It looks like the Rambam substituted falling asleep for...
I understand, that's why the Mariel said it.
So, right, that's where I got it from.
That's right, that's a natural derivation, but falling asleep is a state.
Right.
And this is one of the million consequences of that state. So to say one of a million consequences states, that the state itself.
So I think when we come to the lesson, the lesson of drinking, and like what did Chazal have in mind, and I'll give some suggestions, so that, you know, in that suggestion, we are going to focus on the phrase of Arar Haman and Baruch Mordechai, as opposed to sleeping. You know, what were Chazal trying to have us... Why to drink wine on Purim as opposed to, even if wine can get us to a good state, you know, but why then, why on Purim? And what is this reference to Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai? So those are all excellent questions that I want to, you know, and I want, you know, so I'll give you some of my, you know, thoughts on, you know, on the matter. But I'd love to hear yours too. Okay, so like that, so we just went through that. Other, just more of the poskim part of the shir. Oh, we got to move. So the poskim part of the shir, so you look at Bir Halacha. Let me just do that. Okay, so the Bir Halacha says, Adelo Yada. He quotes the Meiri, that he had Chaya B'Simcha, B'Yom Zeh, V'Chila V'Shtiya, Ad Shel Yechaseh Shum Dova, Mekom Mekom, Ein Anu Mitzun L'Shtaker. Don't get so drunk. Ula hafchis atzmenu, and to like debase and to lower ourselves. Mitocha hafchis atzmenu, mitocha simcha. Shalom nistavu al simcha shal hololus v'shal shtus. That's not the point of the drinking. That's not the what we're getting at when we drink. What are we doing? It's a drinking which leads us to a simcha. Shal tanig sheagia mitocha lavas Hashem. Hashem Yisbarach. V'hodol hanisim sha'asolanu. It's a type of drinking, right? He's telling us that should lead us to Avas Hashem and praising Hashem for the Nisim that He's done for us. So that's the type of drinking that we do. But you know that we should choose.
Your question of why Dafka and Purim?
And why exactly right? So why on Purim are they telling you to do this and not another Torah?
Totally ignores Avraham Harman and Baruch Mordechai.
And Avraham Harman and Baruch Mordechai. Correct. Totally. Correct. So let's start. And then he goes on. He quotes the Chayo Adam. Hayodeya ba'asmo, if one knows himself, she'yazazol az b'mitzvah min ha'mitzvahs. If you are going to drink so much, ad lo yada, and you're going to then be, fall short in netilas yadayim, in birchas hamazon, in tefilas mincha and ma'ariv, right, or a type of kalas rosh that will not be appropriate. So mutav shelo yishtake v'chol masiv yishem shamayim. So, you can't have a 0 to 100 to a black and white and benching and so we have to limit, it's all limiting the drinking. The Mikomakom, the Mishnah Berurah too says, Yira Lios Zohir Binyan Etilas Shedayim Birchas HaMotzi Birchas HaMazom Via Simcha, let it be a Simcha Shal Mitzvah. Okay, so let's talk about the Adilo Yada point. So that was it. So why does he use that phrase? So the next source is going to quote a Sfas Emes, and it's going to make the following diuk. So I always understood, and until now I've been saying, that ad lo yada sounds like the shear of how much one has to drink. One has to drink so much ad lo yada between 0 and 100, between good and evil, right? And that is, if you drink anything short of that, you did not fulfill your mitzvah a levisume bepuria. But he says there's another way of understanding. It's not the shear of the chiyuv, but it's the shear of the ptur. Meaning, a person has the chiyuv of you may mishnah v'simcha. There's the chiyuv of a mishnah. At the mishnah, Chazal want you, and still we haven't answered that why in the purpose, but to drink specifically on Purim. On that day, and thinks that might could be a positive outcome for drinking on Purim. Okay, yeah. However, drinking on Purim, but it's saying so all day, right? Is that chiyuv of to drink? When are you putter from drinking anymore? If you've gotten to the point where you adlo yada ben araham on Baruch Mordechai, if you drank so much, then no longer have a chiyuv to drink anymore. So adlo yada is telling you, you can drink all day and and drink your wine and be fine. But if you ever reach the shear of that ad lo yada, you have no more chiyuv to drink anymore.
So it's like ad below
abifah. Correct. Right. Don't drink that much. And if you did anything short, no, you can drink all day short of it, and you fulfilled your mitzvah. That was great. You had the mitzvah and you drank a little bit more than you're used to, and you were mesameach and you praised Hashem, and it came to avas Hashem. You did, and you never got to ad lo yada ben araham. You fulfilled the mitzvah perfectly. That was the perfect way to fulfill the mitzvah. It's only if you ever did it so much, then you don't have to do anymore.
It's a stopping point.
Okay. So that was so that can help a little bit with the ad lo yada.
Why we chose that exact analogy? It's something you would never want to recite. Who's good and who's bad? That makes sense that way. That's it. Like you went too far. Can't tell good from bad.
Okay. So let's go to page 3.
It's almost impossible.
So this is a cute. I thought it was a tremendous gematria. So it brought down in the Magen Avraham, first source of page 3, and he points out that the gematria, when it says don't drink ad lo yada ben arahaman and baruch Mordechai, the gematria of arahaman is 502. The gematria of baruch Mordechai is 502. Both the so what he's telling you is, you don't have to drink between 0 and 100, black and white. Don't drink so high. You have to drink until, if I told you, tell me the gematria of Arhamon and Baruch Mordechai, and you were trying to figure it out in your head, after one glass of wine, I wouldn't be able to. You couldn't even do it right now with no wine. So it's a much lower. It goes with the. At least it helps us explain for those people that are learning that you don't have to drink, so much. So how do they explain ad lo yada? And so, maybe these are different ways to explain the phrase ad lo yada. The Taz brings down what does it mean ad lo yada? It means that there was, and I think the Vilna Gaon says something like this, says that there was that there was a tova kfula. There was the bringing down of Haman, but there was also the raising up of Mordechai. And there were and like on Purim, so we say, which one should you emphasize in your Hallel, you know, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And you know, so that could be a much more, you know, and that's why he's saying Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai, meaning drink till you don't really understand that the subtle, more subtle of a distinction, should your emphasis on the drinking and the simcha be that good was rewarded, or should your emphasis of the simcha on Purim be the Ar Haman, that the Haman was brought down low. So again, it limits the amount of drinking. It tells you why they say Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai, because you're focusing on good and evil, and just trying to understand, you know, which is more important of, you know, for that holiday of your, you know, through your thoughts, you know, the punishing of evil or the rewarding of good. Yes.
זה הפירוש הזה עוד פעם מוכיח שאם אתה מחפש תמיד מספיק זמן, בסוף תמצא איזה תירוץ. זה הדבר שיוצא מהפירוש הזה. הבעיה בפירוש הזה, מעבר לזה שאני לא מאמין בגימטריה בכלל, אבל הבעיה בפירוש הזה, שהרי אני כבן 50 שנה, ויש אנשים בני 100 שנה, שלא שמרו ולא חשבו על הגימטריה הזאת, אז הם לא ידעו עד כמה להשתקר או לא. ולדעתי הוא מצא את הפירוש הזה של הגימטריה בפורים דווקא.
Very, very good Purim Torah. So if this is a good Purim Torah. This is a good. Okay, so I thought possibly also to limit why Ar Haman Baruch Mordechai and how can you use it to try to limit how much it's not a maximalist drinking, but it's even a phrase that could be used for a little bit, you know, less of a maximalist drinking. And I thought, I didn't see other people say this. I don't know if other people saw this, but it says, it doesn't say, Ad Shelo Yada Ben Haman LeMordechai. It doesn't say that you don't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai. It says that you don't know the difference between Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai. And then my mind started saying, you know, people are a little bit more complex. You know, Haman was not, I thought it was between a 0 and 100 when I looked at it. And maybe if I said between Haman and Mordechai, it is a 0 and 100. But once I start talking about, this is me talking that, but once I start saying it's the Aror of Haman and the Baruch of Mordechai, maybe it's not 0 and 100, maybe, and I'll explain myself, maybe it's more of a 40-60, and it's a little bit more, you don't have to drink as much, and it's a little bit more subtle of a distinction. Because we know that in Haman, the Gemara even says, that the Netinat HaTabat, right, that happened of Achashverosh to Haman caused more change in Klal Yisrael, more positive change in Klal Yisrael than the 48 Nevi'im, you know, that were brought and giving Tochacha to Klal Yisrael. So, you know, Haman was bad. Haman was an anti-Semite. Haman was a homicidal, you know, anti-Semite. He was bad. But there was good that came out of Kimu v'Kiblu, and Lech Kenosis Kol HaYehudim, and there's a lot, you know, and so there's a lot of good that came out of, you know, Haman. So I thought that takes it from 100 down. I'm not making you know, Haman good, but maybe I'm dropping him to a 60, right? And then Mordechai, I was just thinking again in my mind, maybe it's better at a Purim suit than this thought, you know. And you know, but you know, I was thinking in my mind that there is, and we touched on it with the brachos with Yaakov and Esav, and we know that Yaakov might have, you know, caused Esav to cry, and the Gemara that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers that he's not a Vaitran, and the same, I think it was the same phrase that when Esav was crying, so now the descendant of Esav, meaning Haman, because Amalek is the grandson of Esav, and Haman comes from Amalek, so they're causing the Jews to cry out. I think the same cry in the pasuk, I don't remember it now, right, ran for Sa'akagdola, right? So is, you know, is, so we cause, you know, Esav, so Esav's descendants are causing us, you know, to cry out. So maybe I'm saying is Mordechai is good, you know, Mordechai, you know, is a hero. But and we know, and Mordechai didn't stand right in front of Haman and, you know, really tried to hit him face on. I know, even if you look at the Pesukim, he tried to avoid him, not to show that people. It was only pointed out later that Mordechai wasn't bowing down, and it came to his attention. So he said, but maybe I'm sure the Jews were blaming, you know, Mordechai for the situation that they found themselves in. Mordechai, if you only, you know, behaved a little bit and went along a little bit with the flow, we wouldn't, not everyone's life wouldn't be a pikuach nefesh state, you know, right now. So that, even though Mordechai is good, I was like, I was limiting it a little bit. So I thought that was my interpretation of maybe, you know, Baruch, Mordechai and Ar Haman, instead of just Haman and Mordechai, and it might have lowered it from a 0 to 100 to a 40 to 60. You don't have to drink as much. Okay.
Penny?
Yes.
Penny?
Yes.
Yeah, I once saw a very nice explanation that if you look in the Megillah between the time Mordechai is introduced and the time Haman is introduced, what the sugya there is the shtika of Esther, that Mordechai tells Esther not to reveal anything.
Okay.
And he says, the inyan of adelo yoda, you shouldn't know that inyan of shtika, and how do you do that? Nichnas gai and yatsa sod, you should drink enough wine to loosen the tongue, and that's already being Mekayim the mist.
Okay, very good.
Anyway, I just want to tell you, Penny, nice board, and the Gemara Megillah Daf Gimel supports that. Rava says that they blamed Mordechai.
They did blame
Mordechai. It's talking about why is Mordechai called Ish Yehudi and Yemini. Rava Amar Knesset Yisrael Amar Leidach Kisar Uma Suli Yehudi Uma Shilem LeYemini. They were mad at David. Masa LeYehudi. What did the man from Yehuda do to us? The Lokat LeDavid LeShimi. David didn't kill Shimi ben Gera when David was fleeing Avshalom. D'yali minei Mordechai. Now we got this guy named Mordechai who comes from Shimi. And look what he's done to us.
Right.
Ben Haman. Look what he's brought upon us.
Right. Okay, good. Right. Good. Okay, so now it comes to, I think, a little bit more of the more interesting part of the shiur. You know, let's move on to the stage two and really talk about what were Chazal maybe driving at, what did they want us to feel, to come to understand, what would be the positive influence, so even if I'm limiting the amount of drinking, what are the positive influences at all about drinking, and what are these references to Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai? So hopefully I'll be clear here. So one source is the Avudraham that people quote and say, why to drink? And it's getting a little... So you drink because we want to remember the Nes, we want to remember the miracle, and a lot of the miracle and happened in the story of the Megillah happened through a mishteh of wine. So Vashti got dethroned, you know, it was a mishnah of wine. And Esther, after she got installed, it was a mishnah of wine. And the downfall of Haman at the end of the Megillah was a mishnah, you know, with wine. So the Avudraham is saying that therefore, L'chein, I wrote it, L'chein, Chayuv al-Ishtake B'Purim, Mnei Shebaha Nes B'Avor Mishtah HaYayin, She'asta Esther, V'atayyeh Nizkar HaNes HaGadol B'Shtiyas HaYayin. So again, it's another point of... specifically yayin, again, as opposed to other drinks, and is saying, like, you know, but it's just saying, I agree, drink wine, but not to get drunk, okay, but it's a mission, but it's telling you, I was starting low, like, why drink at all? So he's saying drinking is like, almost like hadlak, someone pointed out, almost like hadlakas neros. We do hadlakas neros as a recreation of like the nace of Hanukkah, like the nace. So according to the Avudraham, he's like, you're drinking to recreate, you know, the nace of Purim, because so many important things of hidden Yad Hashem happen, you know, through a mishta of Yayin. Okay, so now let me start talking a little bit more, try to answer some of these, you know, some of the deeper meanings. So, and why specifically on and why specifically on Purim? So this, I think, is a true answer. This, I think, is a true answer, and maybe what Chazal wanted to get at. So I don't know where to start. And specifically on Purim. So we just went through. We just went on Purim, right? You just went through Atanas Esther. So you know you felt the fear and you felt the pachad, and then you just heard the Megillah at night, and you heard the Megillah again in the morning, and you just spent a whole day thinking about this battle between Amalek and the Jewish people. And you think, you know, and what does Amalek, you know, stand for? Amalek is Asher Karcha Baderech. Amalek is a nation that doesn't see Yad Hashem, that sees everything as being mikra, that sees everything as being happenstance, and does it right. So and that's how they were able to attack you know, B'nai Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim. You know, any other nation sees, you know, these miracles, you know, sees the splitting of the sea. And so, but Amalek comes along and says, no, there was a wind, you know, and rationalizes everything, rationalizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of this world, out of this world. And that's, you know, and that's Amalek. So but now I've just spent a whole day and tried to say, I understand that even when I think Hashem is far away, and really, even though when I think things are bad, Esther being taken into the, as a wife for Achashverosh, I think that's horrible. And then all of a sudden, I see that God is involved in history. God is closer, and things that I thought were bad were actually, you know, turned out to be good. So I have a little bit more of this, this clarity. I'm rambling a little bit. This is a little bit of the background. So then, so what do I want to say? Sometimes this rational side, but even though I'm against Amalek, but sometimes I even suffer. I don't always see Yad Hashem as clearly as I should in, you know, in events. I saw, let's say in 48 and 67, there might be some people that were not so sensitive, even to seeing maybe in these things and still live their lives. You know, even though we leave Hashem is involved, they don't, I don't know, they, you know, he's using Teva and they're still, you get so involved with Teva and they don't see it, you know, so clearly. But let me jump a little bit and hopefully I'll wrap it up. But it's like, if you asked an atheist, probably the atheist is saying, he's using his rational mind, and he's saying, why don't I believe in God? Well, you believe that there's an all-powerful being who's all good, then why does evil exist in the world? I don't believe in God. And that's probably used his rational mind to just push God, Yad Hashem, you know, off to the side, and he's living his life. So I'm not saying I do that to the point of an atheist, but we all maybe use our rational mind and not feeling the closeness of Hashem and the Yad Hashem as close as we could be. So maybe what Chazal was saying is that, especially on Purim, after you've already spent the whole day and came to a certain understanding that Hashem is Hashem, which you think is Nistar, is really actually a close, is trying to say that you can then, you know, use the alcohol to blunt your. I probably rationalize a lot of things that are, you know, that I don't see Yad Hashem, or I don't, you know, not feeling, allowing me to, you know, feel close to Hashem. So if I blunt my rational aspect, I can allow, the alcohol can allow the pint of the yid to come out and to be mitchaber with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Purim. And I think maybe that's the purpose of the alcohol, and especially on Purim, because I've prepared myself on Purim, you know, of going through the Mikra Megillah and seeing Hashem is Yad in history. So I prepared myself to try to, in another way, blunt the rationalization with some alcohol and allow the emotional, you know, connection to come forth to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So something, you know, something along that line. Some people also... So some people then explain, what does it mean to drink Adalo Yada? So then they bring the word Yada from, and they go back to Eitz Hadas. And why do they go from here? Why do they go back to Eitz Hadas? And they goes back to Eitz Hadas because they said, even Haman min HaTorah min Nalan, and the Gemara quotes, you know, Hamin HaEitz Asher Tzivicha Levilti Achal Mimeno Achal. You know, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to Adam HaRishon. So it even Chazal is pointing us back to the Eitz Hadas. So we understood that, you know, pre-Eitz Hadas is, you know, there was a clarity of Emes and Sheker, you know, but you still had Bechira. And Achava, with Bechira, because that's why she was punished, did something wrong, but she knew it was wrong. But the problem was, is after she ate from the Eitz Hadas, and they talk about the internalizing, you know, this inside us, you know, now we get to decide, it's even worse, because now we do something, but we're calling it Tov, but we're so confused, post Eitz Hadas, we're doing things that we think are Tov, and it's much more dangerous than Chava. Chava did it because she had a taiva for it, but she knew it was Sheker. We're doing things that are really not right, but we're calling it Tov. So we're in a post Eitz Hadas confused state. And we're seeing, you know, Tov, and we're seeing Ra, and, you know, but maybe the drinking does, and they say, is coming to the point that and say there is no tov and ra in the world. Like what we see ra, and that's that whole set, that's all the sugya of kashem shemavarchin ala tov and this, you know, kach mavarchin ala ra, and what kashem, like the same way. Yeah, okay, not in this world. You know, in this world, when we say Shema and we want to have Yichud Hashem, we have to close our eyes. We have to close our... It's hard for us to say there's one unity of God when we're seeing evil in the world. How could evil come from an all-good God? So we have to close our eyes a little bit to the evil to come to, you know, come to Yichud Hashem. Maybe that same on a Purim, after understanding... You know the Yad Hashem and how and that we think it's gullus and we think their things are evil and Hashem is far, but really Hashem is close. So maybe then on the Purim, the same thing, like we close our eyes for Shema, we're closing our brain a little bit with some alcohol in moderation, and that's the same thing for us to get to a Yichud Hashem, for us to say, and this is Stevie, there's no difference between an Aruch Haman and a Baruch Mardav. What we perceive as an Aruch Haman, what we're perceiving as evil is really Baruch Mardav. It's coming from the same Shoresh. It's all Tov. It's all coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the Kabbalah Satorah. And that was the, you know, the what we felt maybe, you know, at on Purim. So I'm trying to, you know, maybe talk about some of those things. People talk about the same drink. It was Eitz Hadas, might have been grapes. You know, so maybe we do it through, it's like a tikkun for that confusion that we brought into the world. Here, we're using the alcohol, but after preparing ourselves all day with you know, for Purim, we're not using the grapes and now internalizing the Yetzirah and now being confused and calling things that are raw, we're going to call it Tov, but we've mataken it, and we now see that there really is no difference between Tov and Ra. We see that it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Things that we perceive as Ra is really Tov. We perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu far away, but he's really close. And maybe that was what Hashem was telling, what the Chazal were telling us, to drink a little bit on Purim to try to get that feeling. You know, the rest of the year is... You know, and especially, let's say, a Yom Kippur, you go into the Avodah, and it's Avodah. You come in with clarity. You're standing in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. You have to be clear. But who gets to stand in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu? It's the Kohen Gadol. It's one representative. Here, the masses, every person, after going through this process of Purim, can now maybe blunt certain parts of their rational aspect that are preventing them from feeling this tremendous emotional attachment with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and maybe that's somehow the purpose of the drinking on Purim. I wanted to then say I'll end very, very quickly. I heard just yesterday that from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, I didn't see it inside, but someone quoted a Rabbi Orlian on YU Torah. And then I think I heard someone else quoted something very similar in the name of Rav Hutna. And he goes back to that story of Rabbi and Rav Zera. And he said, Rabbi and Rav Zera, and he says, according to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he believes, he wants to say that that Rav Zera actually died. He really, you know, take it literally for that. But he doesn't say, but it wasn't that Rav shechted him, you know, because look, we don't see anything. First, he has no regret. He comes back. You would think he would spend the rest of Shas and all of, you know, in Shuvah. Oh my God, had I went too much of an extreme, and look, I did such a terrible thing. You don't see any, you know, anything like that, you know, in Shas. So he wants to say that, you know, no, that Rabba acted 100% correctly, but. Rav Zera actually died. So what does he say? And he goes back to the other time during where wine and someone died. He goes back to the Nadav and Aviu and drinking and getting close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Going into and doing the Avodah in the Kadosh Kadoshim. And he wanted to say, how did Nadav and Aviu were able to drink a little bit? And he quotes this quote of Nichnas Yain V'Yatzah Sod. This is Lubavitcher Rebbe. And what is Sod? Sod is the Sodus of Torah. Is really the secrets, the metaphysical secrets of the Ein Sof. And he wanted to say, the Lubavitcher Rebbe said the following. He says, Rabba is great. Rav Zera literally means small. Means small. So Rabba was the greater, you know, Talmud Chacham, the greater, you know, great. And he's teaching on Purim, drinking a little bit, and Yotza Sod, Nichnas Yayin, Yotza Sod, the Sod comes out, and Rabba is teaching Rav Zera the Sodos of these hidden secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Zera is imbibing them, and he's coming so, you know, high, you know, from these, it's almost like, He's coming to such clarity and understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his neshama leaves him. You know, it's like that we've heard on Har Sinai, after they Klal Yisrael heard the first two dibras directly from Hashem, they died. How do I understand that? When you encounter Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you understand Ein Od Milvado, nothing else exists outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the only independent existence. I'm a dependent, and my dependent existence just gets, you know, just gets dissolved in the Ein Sof, and Lo Yelecha is the same message. So by hearing those two dibros, because the content of those dibros is the absolute unity of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and when you dissolve into that absolute unity, your neshama just then leaves your body and is just being dovek with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's what happened to Rav Zeira that year, and that's what it means. And then he performed Tchias HaMeisim. So the following year, why Rabba had no problem coming back to Rav Zeira, he says, a year has passed. You've gotten bigger, Rav Zeira. You've already been through the experience. Let's do it again. Let's delve into the Sodos of Torah, and you'll be able to, you know, reach. And Rav Zeira begs off and says, I went through it. I'm still not up to that, up to that level. But again, that is talking about something maybe which I was trying to latch into, that drinking the wine and then around the Suda and around singing Zmiris and saying Divrei Torah, so that's the proper thing. And going through already a Purim, you know, of the 24 hours before that is allowing a person to like to block the thing, you know, to blunt the things that are blocking him all year from reaching this close. Because I do a lot of mitzvahs by rote, you know. Do I have that hislavus and have that, you know, that fire, and that, you know, so maybe I can blunt my cold rational self a little bit and try to feel a little bit more of the hislavus and zveikus Hashem. And I think that's and appropriate on the, with the preparation of Purim more than any other time. So I think, you know, maybe that was going. And the very last thing that someone said is that drinking also brings one of the important things of Shalach Monos and the sharing is reyus, you know, is that, and there's something about drinking with a friend that can bring you, break down certain social barriers and bring you even closer. So someone else brings that. The very last thing that I quoted is going in. That I really think is, you know, that's what I feel. And, you know, that's it. But I'll say something which I also heard from Rav Yonason Sachs, who used to be a Rosh Hashiva in YU, who's moved over to, you know, to Landers. And that's the last source of the printed page. And he points out something which was pretty remarkable, because here you have the statement of Rabbah. And it says, Chayiv Inish Levisume Bipuria Adalo Yada. Purim is, and how did people interpret it? It's a tremendous simcha. Such a simcha, you have to drink so much. Drink so much. Tremendous simcha. But then in the source, in Gemara, Megillah, Daf Yadalid, it talks about, why don't we say Hallel on Yom Kippur? The Gemara gives three reasons, either on Purim, and it says either because it happened outside of Eretz Yisrael, either the Megillah, the Mikra Megillah is the Hallel, or what does Rava say? And people say it's not, some people learn it as, I think some people learn it as Rava. Rava. It is Rava. It's the same Rava, I'm sorry. Rava say. So the same Rava that said, that sounded like it's a tremendous simcha to drink, is now a statement of Rava that says you don't say Hallel on Purim. Why? Because on by Pesach we left, you know, Paro. We left Avdei Paro and we became Avdei Hashem. But now we, you know, before we were Avdei Achashveyosh and Akate Avdei Achashveyosh and not. So it seems like we're limiting. Purim is not such a great holiday. It's not such a great holiday to say Hallel. It's not such tremendous simcha. It's that we don't even say Hallel because we're still slaves to Achashveyosh. We're not Avdei Hashem. So what Rav Sachs pointed out, if that's Rav's Shita by Hallel, that where it's not such a great simcha. I mean, we're saying, you know, we don't say Hallel on Purim because we're still slaves to Achashverosh and we're not Avdei Hashem. So he says, because if we really were Avdei Hashem, then he goes back to Nadav and Avihu. He says, what is real simcha? Real simcha is being Lifnei Hashem. And when you're Lifnei Hashem in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then it says, Yayin V'Sheicha Al Tash, you're not allowed to drink. So when it's real when you're really lifnei Hashem, then there's an issur to drink. So us, he wanted to point out that the drinking of Rava on Purim is another manifestation that we're not lifnei Hashem, but we're finding ourselves still in a galus situation of being slaves to Achashveros, and that's why we're allowed to drink. Maybe we're drinking to show that we're not Avdei Hashem, but we're only Avdei Achashveros. Let's stop in for a time when we can be Avdei Hashem, and his Gilu Shechina won't no longer be a hidden hand of Hashem, and everything will be goyloy, and we should have a good Purim.